Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, it's that time of week. Good evening, all, and welcome to the Radio Info Show live from the Sunshine State in the USA. Happy day after Easter. Jay here with our co-host and executive producer, Pepe Farms, and our newest co-host, BP. Good evening, gents. So much to unpack in an hour. Good evening, Pepe. How was your week?
Great. Thanks, Jay. I hope you're doing well on this anniversary of the sentencing of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. It's been a busy week full of church-storming Nazis, Facebook leaks, corporate cell phones, infected face masks, and beer testing positive for COVID, for sure.
Good evening, BP. Welcome back, sir. How's your week?
Uh-oh, it sounds like we might have a on-mute problem here. Let me go poke BP with a stick here real quick.
All right, there we go. Sorry. Hello.
There you are. See? We were just
Pepe
talking
Farms
about that.
And Jay, hope you guys had a good week.
Yeah, thank you, sir. We were just talking about this in pre-show about forgetting to unmute yourself.
Yeah.
I hope you guys had a great Easter.
Yes, we excellent here. Good weather.
Good deal.
Yeah, I found a camouflage egg in the yard, pointing at the brightly colored one, saying, "It looks like you guys just want to get caught."
we're gonna start it off this way, are we? All right, guys, let's just dive into it. Joe Biden is getting ready to lock up a lot of black people, as he did as a senator. If the Biden administration is serious about cracking down on supposed rise in anti-Asian American violence and bias, it's going to have to take a break from all this racial equity it's been hiding. And it's going to have to prepare itself to lock up a lot of black people, and maybe a few Hispanics. The White House on Tuesday announced additional actions that President Joe Biden would direct to respond to anti-Asian violence, xenophobia, and bias. If you haven't heard, there's some evidence of rashes of anti-Asian sentiment breaking out across the country. Well, mostly in New York and parts of California, where those rashes have existed for decades. But we're told by some advocacy groups and some local police departments that it's gotten worse. The gruesome beating and choking of an Asian man until he was unconscious on a New York subway this week, black perpetrator. The shocking video this week of an elderly Asian woman kicked to the ground and repeatedly stomped on as she headed to church, black perpetrator. The man arrested last week in Seattle accused of yelling, "Fuck you, Asian bitch," at a woman, black. The man who brutally beat an Asian man earlier this month on a New York subway while shouting, "You Asian motherfucker," white supremacist. Just kidding. Black man. Vigilant, I cannot say this word on it. I'm not even going to try to butcher it, guys. So an 84-year-old San Francisco man of Thai descent was on his routine morning walk in late January when a man in a hoodie charged in his direction and shoved him to the ground. He was hospitalized and died 2 days later. Police identified and charged a 19-year-old Antone Watson for the crime. Watson, who pleaded not guilty, is black. Another clip from late January showed the assault of a 9-year-old man in Chinatown, section of Oakland, California. A man walked up behind him in a hoodie, used both arms to push the unsuspecting victim to the ground before the assailant walked away. Police identified 28-year-old Yahya Muslim. He's not a Muslim. That's his last name. Don't even go there. As a perpetrator and linked to the similar attacks of two other elderly people before the same day. Muslim is black. Denny Kim, 27, of Los Angeles, was randomly attacked last month by two men who he said ambushed him in the street while beating him up and leaving him with a black eye. The men called him Chinese virus and said all fucking Asians got to die. Police described the suspects as Hispanic. Also last month, an Asian man in New York was taken to the hospital in critical condition after being stabbed in the back with a butcher knife. The perpetrator later turned himself in to police. I could only find a photo of him with a face mask, making it difficult to discern his race. I do know that his name was Salman Mulhafi, probably not the sort of name you would expect an angry white man to have. True, there was the recent violent rampage in Atlanta where a young white man killed Asians and a couple of white people at the same Asian-run spas, which he said he did because of some weird sex addiction. Lightning strikes every now and then. But we've seen there isn't a matter of white supremacy. It's very much not that. Now, I want to go to our new co-host, B, first. For those who don't know B, because you don't see us, is African-American. B, what do you make of this, bud? I mean, what's your take on all this?
I think some of it is a direct reflection of the Biden administration failing in its policies. And I think it's just frustrating for black African-American men, because it's economics. It all boils down to economics. They feel like they don't have any economic ability to function in society, and they get frustrated and they lash out at somebody who's not like them. So it's frustrating to me. It's very sad, and I think you gotta do better. You know, we gotta do better.
Well, we definitely all need and can do better. Now, BV, do you think some of this is media fueled?
Oh yeah, definitely media fueled. Perpetrating the same images over and over and over, you know, and after a while, you watch the same thing 15 times, you're starting to think, hey, maybe it's true, you know, and it's a direct reflection of the education system in our country.
Which I believe you're going to get into a little bit later.
Yes. Oh yeah. We will get into that with a discussion about COVID and parents and teachers and returning to school.
Well,
so that's my take.
When I was putting this together, I part of me is like, look, I don't care what color your skin is. If you're a bad person, you're a bad person. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes. Oh, totally. I mean, you know, it goes back to how the child is raised also. You know,
that's
a whole other show, a couple shows.
Oh, absolutely,
you know,
on that one.
You know,
but
go
ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to say,
Well, I was just going to say there are bad white parents, there are bad Hispanic parents, there are bad Asian parents, there are bad, you know.
It doesn't matter what color they are. They're bad. I mean.
Exactly. Thank you. Pepe, what you got? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was done.
I was just going to go to Pepe. Pepe, give me what your thought on this thing is.
But Jay, they do want equity. They want all races equally abused by jackboot thugs. And they hire diverse cops. What more do you want?
Oh,
B is right. It does come down to economics. And remember, the Biden administration and the Obama administration he was part of before that preached loud and clear that the only reason why black people are downtrodden is because other people are acting like supremacists, and Asian people moving into neighborhoods and buying up stores and being successful is obviously supremacy. So it's very logical,
okay.
Of course, the basis for it is a fallacy.
We'll do a show on Asian supremacy real soon.
All right. Wasn't that World War II in the Pacific?
I knew you'd do it. Okay, Pepe. And total laugh my ass off news. Let's have some fun. Audio soundbite 9, please.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double barrel shotgun. Have the shells, a 12-gauge shotgun. And I promise you, as I told my wife, we live in an area that's wooded and somewhat secluded. I said, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun and fire 2 blasts outside the house. I promise you, who's ever coming in is not going to... You don't need an AR-15. It's harder to aim, it's harder to use, and in fact, you don't need 30 rounds to protect yourself. Buy a shotgun.
There are, it's almost like, where do you start?
Have them come to Philadelphia, have them come to Detroit, Chicago, and walk outside and use a shotgun and see what happens at that point.
Aren't warning shots illegal?
You know, Americans ought to have the right to defend themselves precisely the way that the Constitution and our founders understood it. Somehow the idea that President Biden gets to decide precisely which firearms we ought to have and precisely how we ought to protect our home and our family is absolutely ludicrous.
It's harder to aim. It's harder to use.
So if it's harder to shoot an AR-15 than it is a double-barrel shotgun, why aren't we banning double-barrel shotguns?
You know, the president addressing gun violence in the country and putting in place additional safety measures is something that the president has a personal commitment to, and his history on this issue is evidence of that. You know, he's obviously taken on the NRA twice and won, and he is happy and eager to do that in the future.
When did he take on the NRA? When did he win? I must have missed that gunfight.
You know, I got to say the left, they practice deception. Number one, the framing about taking on gun violence. Let me say, it would be very good for Joe Biden to take on gun violence. Here's the way you do that. You go after criminals. You go after murderers. You go after people who use guns to kill people and hurt people, and you put them in jail and you prosecute them. Now, we'll see what Joe Biden does, but I can tell you what Barack Obama and Joe Biden did, which is they ratcheted back the prosecution of gun crimes. They reduced the resources, the time, the energy, the cases that were brought prosecuting actual criminals. And by the way, Kamala Harris, the vice president, raised money to bail out violent criminals who were rioting in our country. So when I hear a Democratic spokeswoman say, we're against gun violence, no, you're not when you're funding it, when you're celebrating it, when you're encouraging it. You want to be against gun violence? Go after the criminals.
He's had guns and protection around him his entire life, and yet we see what's happening in those communities that do not have the same protection.
But, you know, she is right in something. If you want to know what Joe Biden will do, look to the history. When he was asked, are you going to come after the gun rights of law-abiding citizens, his answer was bingo. That's exactly what the far left wants. They don't want to stop criminals with guns, which we all should be united on. They want to stop you from having the right to defend yourself. They want to disarm you, not because you're violent, not because you're a criminal, but because you're a free and independent American. We're going to defend our liberty, despite their lies.
But I got news for you. I'm sure there's not a veteran here who would take an AR-16 with a long clip to go out and shoot a deer or shoot anything. There has no business. Joe led the fight to get those things off the street.
Mr. Kerry, AR-16s are already off the street. They don't exist.
They really believe they know everything about everything, and they know nothing about guns.
So in other words, the guy who flies around the world in his private jet lecturing us about climate change is now telling us that we're going to get rid of a gun that doesn't exist. Oh, you know, just brilliant.
Anyway, that was Jim Jordan, Ted Cruz, Burgess Owens on the West Indies. So, Pepe, I must go out and get one of these AR-16s right away.
I know, right? They keep randomly adding or subtracting digits, don't they? It's not, if it's not the AR-14, then it's the AR-16. When they mean AR-15, a sporterized civilian version of the military M-16, popularized by politicos only because the dumb masses are programmed to think assault rifle instead of the correct Armalite rifle. But let's all do what Joe says and fire illegal warning shots and blow limbs off with double-barreled shotguns because it's easier.
Yeah, and who is that crazy-ass, I think it's a senator in Texas, Pepe, Sheila Jackson Lee, who described an AR-15 as weighing, what was it, 50 pounds and shot a hole that was like a foot. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, must have been confusing it with a Majus or yeah, Majus or a bazooka.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Go ahead, BP.
But
I want to hear you.
My thing about that
you.
Is Susan Jackson Lee represents a district with the highest gun violence in the country. So,
yeah,
are you really? Really? Can you lecture me?
Guys. I'm telling you. All right, guys, this next one, I'll tell you. Let's just roll it, Pepe. Audio soundbite 10, please.
Well, first of all, just gut check, stop. Anyone who's using the term surge around you consciously is trying to invoke a militaristic frame. And that's a problem because this is not a surge. These are children, and they are not insurgents, and we are not being invaded, which, by the way, is a white supremacist idea, philosophy, the idea that if an other is coming in the population, that this is like an invasion of who we are.
Oh, gosh, boy, oh, boy, the stupid is deep with AOC because they aren't insurgents. Also breaking, a study today finds AOC is the least effective member of Congress. Did you really need a study for that, Pepe?
I think I might be breaking up here, Jay, but if you can hear me, Tim Pool is reporting today that AOC donated to some Democrats who are now panicking because she's a poison pill even in her own party.
I mean, that's so true, so true. She speaks, and people run away. It's great to see that.
I mean, she is a gift that means die for, guys. I mean, she can make my head hurt in about 15 seconds.
BP talking about people running away from AOC just makes me envision flying monkeys and the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, guys. Now, in Imagine That News, Texas COVID-19 cases plummet 1 month after mask mandate is lifted. A month after Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced full reopening and repeal of the mask mandate, the number of coronavirus cases and deaths totals fall. The state has recorded the lowest number of daily new coronaviruses since June 2020. Despite negative feedback from leaders in the Democrat Party, including Joe Biden, who described Governor Abbott's decision as Neanderthal thinking, and soon-to-be ex-governor Gavin Newsom of California describing it as absolutely reckless, Texas seems to be moved in the right direction, the Post-Millennial reported. According to data from the New York Times COVID tracker, corona cases in Texas have dropped nearly 4,000 per day, while deaths have dropped nearly 137 per day since Governor Abbott repealed the mask mandate. So, gentlemen?
Well, Jay, the preliminary death statistics are in for 2020, so we can finally unpack some of the numbers because, as we all know, the raw numbers are meaningless unless compared to years without pandemic. If COVID was actually a thing, we would expect to have seen a change in the death rate that's greater than the normal standard deviation. We would expect the death rate to increase faster during a pandemic than it does normally. Instead, the UN report generated from CDC data shows that the change in death rate actually went down. Total number of deaths and the death rate did increase from 2019 to 2020, but, and it's a fat bottom girl, the death rate was already increasing before COVID and had been increasing since Obama was elected. The rate of increase remained statistically exactly the same 2019 to 2020 at an increase of 1.12% year to year, and lower than the death rate increase of 1.22% in 2018. The most recent low was in 2008, when the death rate was actually dropping by almost 1%. Was it all gun violence created by Obama and Biden that created the current increase in death rate that we have? Add on top of that unfettered migration? So there was no pandemic, in the U.S. at least. Otherwise, the rate of increase of death rate would have gone up, and it didn't.
I would totally agree with you. I mean,
go ahead, BP.
That was, you know, Pepe Farms. I think you're absolutely right with those numbers. I mean, it's amazing how they skewed in their way and from away from the facts.
So right. They've literally relabeled all respiratory illness as COVID. They claim they've cured the flu.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about this on a show or two ago, Pepe. COVID's a new flu. I mean, whether you're on one side of the fence or the other, it was released from a lab or whatever. You know, I'm related to a whole lot of people in the medical field, and I believe BP is in the medical field.
Yes, I am.
That's what I hear from – is that what you hear in the background, BP, about COVID?
Well, it's hard to know, to be honest with you. You don't really hear specific numbers. Because if you hear specific numbers, people are going to be relaxed. I, especially working within a hospital, so they want to make everyone, you know, wear PPE, go through all the steps. And I think it's mainly for control.
Oh, I definitely agree with that part. You know, I have my sister who works at the largest hospital in Northwest Florida and four nieces that are in the medical field. And behind the scenes, what they would never say, you know, out loud is it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, most of the people who work in healthcare on the physician side have been schooled in the, you know, typical institutions of higher learning. So they're brainwashed into the system. So they want to keep perpetuating the myth and notions. Because it's in their interest, really. I mean,
right. Well, you know, you don't want to lose your job after paying all that money to get.
No, you don't.
To get those.
Yeah,
if
they actually admitted that they didn't know how to fix anybody, then they'd all be hung at the stake, you know?
Right. Yeah. All right. Good one, guys. In news I could really give two shits about, Major League Baseball is moving the 2021 All-Star Game and the 2021 Draft out of Atlanta in response to Georgia's controversial new voting law, the league announced on Friday. Quote, I have decided that the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and MLB Draft, Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a statement. Quote, Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions on the ballot box, unquote. Now, if you look at the law, if you really look at the law and not the hype, it actually expands the ability to vote. What it doesn't do is allow you to say vote dead, vote if you're not a citizen. And that, my friends, is why they are mad about it. We can sit here and list all kinds of things that you have to have an ID for, with the exception of voting. To counter with people are too poor or ignorant to get an ID is not only laughable, but it's insulting. I believe a Florida ID is $25. Delta Airlines, as many others, have jumped on board. Hey, Delta, don't you require an ID to fly? Pepe.
I'm sorry. Were you handing off to me there, Jay? I'm really breaking
yes,
up
sir.
On my end. Okay.
You're loud and clear here, buddy. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to call back in because I can't understand what you're saying. So BP
you,
and oh, okay. I can understand
we'll,
you now. I can understand
okay.
you now. If you can hear me, then let me say this, and then I'll reconnect. As shirtless Cernovich observed on Twatters, Cobb County voted for Biden. Biden supported moving the All-Star game from Cobb County. I would like to congratulate Cobb County residents for getting what they voted for. Well-deserved jabs aside, to be clear, the anti-Americans argument isn't about race or ignorance. It's about their interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Anti-Americans argue in U.S. court the 14th Amendment grants citizenship to anybody within its borders via the jurisdiction clause, and in fact, anybody outside of its borders. Therefore, requiring citizenship or an ID to vote is voter suppression, and because the USA is, quote, majority white, the citizenship slash ID requirement is, quote, unquote, racist. You see what they did there, right? Proving citizenship to vote equals ID requirement, and because y'all are crackers and you don't give citizenship to all foreign non-crackers, that's racist, trademark. The demon crap useful idiots are leveraged via their own out-group bias, and voila, you get MLB saying IDs to vote is racist, but IDs to get your tickets to watch at MLB is not, literally because it's only not proof of citizenship to vote. Democrats can't explain the basis for their argument without being lambasted, so they'd rather just have you believe the, quote, minorities are too dumb to get IDs line, thereby furthering the ultimate goal of destroying the U.S. via internal strife while deflecting from their actual argument.
So true, so true.
All right, I'm disconnecting. I'll be right back. Y'all go.
Okay, you're good. BB, go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say, that's what they want. They want internal strife. It's the easiest way to put a country up.
Yeah, but, you know, BB, this bobs me over. Delta Airlines says you have to have an ID to fly,
yes. Everywhere you go, any flight, any airline,
you have to have an ID.
Yes.
You
go
have
to a doctor.
ID to buy alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, doctor. Yeah, you go to the doctor.
Yeah, so.
I mean, we can sit here and list how many things you have to have an ID for, which some of them are kind of stupid. I mean, you should have to have an ID to get medical treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it just what insults me is they think people are stupid, too stupid, or too ignorant, or too poor to buy an ID.
Well, that's not their argument, Jay. That's what the useful idiots think, both on both sides. But their argument is that the 14th Amendment gives every person on the planet the right to vote in American elections, because everybody on the planet is subject to American law.
Guys, I just, you know, what are we in now? We're coming into 3 months in on Biden. You know, I actually have to thank Joe Biden. I'm glad he didn't do anything for 47 fucking years after what he's done in just a few short months. I swear to God. All right, guys. Do I love this man? Yes, I do. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas delivered a damning combination of big tech megacorporations' decision to censor free speech on Monday, noting that monopolies such as Facebook and Twitter do not have the right to ban voices they disagree with from the Internet with zero accountability. Quote, digital platforms provide avenues for historically unprecedented amounts of speech, including speech by government actors, unquote, Thomas noted. Quote, equally unprecedented, however, is the concentrated control of so much speech in the hands of a few private parties, unquote. The justice added, quote, we will soon have no choice but to address how our legal doctrines apply to highly concentrated, privately owned information infrastructure such as digital platforms. Guys, I long for the day that fascist book and twatter go the way of MySpace. Pepe.
Sorry, I was slow on the mute button there. Justice Thomas also reiterated that social media should be treated as a common carrier in that I don't know if it was a decision or a dissent or just a comment. That would address all of the concerns for the little guys that getting rid of Section 230 implies. I mean, after all, you can't sue the phone company if I send you a picture of my cock. Yet.
Very true. Very true.
Oh, God.
you should put that quote in writing. I swear to God,
Pepe, if that's not on the Discord server by the end of this show, you're not going to be at it.
Yeah, we need to sell the T-shirt.
I feel, yeah.
BT, go ahead. What's your
thought? I mean, it's so true. I mean, everything is so true about that statement. I mean,
man, oh, man, I'm telling you. Pepe, I got time for one more.
All right, hit it.
All right. Manchin delivers a massive blow to Biden's infrastructure plan. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia, delivered a blow to President Biden's infrastructure plan, which is already facing steep challenge in the Senate. Manchin said publicly that he opposes an increase to the corporate tax rate to 28% that included a plan proposed by the administration. The swing vote Democrat lawmaker said that the increase was a non-starter for him. I'm kind of shocked, Pepe.
I'm a bit of at a loss for words myself because of the headline about Biden blowing Manchin. It triggered flashbacks to CNN's recent article, quote, Biden set to reveal his package in front of school children. They aren't even trying to hide it anymore. But, you know, if you're asking me if Democrat lawmakers acting at the behest of big business is shocking, well, color me shocked.
Also, color me shocked also.
Call me spitting tea out of my nose. Oh, Lord God. I swear to God, Pepe. All right. Let's get down here to where we need to be. Oh, God, we have packed this up. Okay, folks, that's the midway point. Be sure to join our friends at the Not Sorry Show Tuesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central, at dlive.tv/NotSorryShow. You can also follow us and them on Gab. Grab you some Georgia Sweet Tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Radio Infidel Show with episode 3 of Pepe and the Big Think. In this episode of the Big Think, we embark on another historical Connect the Dots adventure, continuing the adventures of clinical medicine with the medical industrial complex's exclusive fixation on cell-based physiology. Cell-based physiology is the modern standard high school biology we all know and loathe.
which teaches us that the basic unit of life is the cell, unless, of course, in cases where that, quote, accepted fact is politically inconvenient. Cell-based life sounds good and appeals to the Lego block aficionado in us all, but experimentation has always shown that bacteria, amoeba, human cells, in fact, all, quote, life, at the cellular level, cannot exist outside of its natural collective, a.k.a. tissue. Bacteria, or tissue samples, do not behave in the lab as they do in the wild. Furthermore, the experimental protocols used by all bacteriologists and virologists have been refuted time and again. A huge claim, I know, and without the in-your-face data tampering of ClimateGate and now the CDC lying about COVID deaths, I would have approached this argument with much more skepticism. Given that the arbiters of truth in all things medical, the CDC, WHO, etc., are sanctimoniously claiming they cured the flu and now have a cure for the common cold, I am left to wonder what else they have been systematically lying about. As with all these connect the dots, we have to start at the beginning. This time, thankfully, only to the beginning of recorded history. We've all had the fundamental historical background where, back in the day, illness was thought to be caused by some combination of the gods' favor, bad smells, unbalanced fluid levels, external poison, or any number of other good versus evil fights taking place inside the body. The earliest writings also include the admonition that neglecting the consciousness in matters of healing ignores the doctor's greatest tool, but this is largely ignored in clinical medicine. So why is cell theory so prevalent now? The TLDR? Eugenics. How do we get from eugenics to cell theory? Cell theory met the criteria required for eugenics, a system manufactured from whole cloth to displace the aristocracy, and cell theory met all the theoretical requirements for the physicists' theoretical models for what we know today as DNA. Rudolf Virchow, and the works he plagiarized, has been enshrined as truth today as a rejection of the, quote, spontaneous generation concept, which, quote, held that organisms could arise from non-living matter. All cell biology follows from this misconception, and since the regular use of the electron microscope in the 40s and 50s, we have known that indeed there are non-living particles that can self-assemble into complex bacteria. Virchow ignored and in some cases suppressed his own experimental evidence in a pattern plaguing us still today, including his theory of cancer origin known as chronic irritation. Experiments today show his cancer theory is correct and that drugs that block inflammation inhibit tumor formation and development. So why was Virchow's questionable cell theory adopted over his experimental proof that cancer and therefore all disease is of the tissue and not of the cell? We have our old friends, the Three Horsemen of the Apocalypse, to thank for that. The industrialized warfare of the 19th and 20th centuries changed the entire landscape of doctors and scientists. They went from rich elitists and the occasional autistic to industrialized systems implemented for large-scale warfare. The terror of chemical warfare, human nature, and the ancient theories of disease joined forces during the eugenics of World War, and all sides frantically searched for defenses against imagined theoretical biological enemies. The theory of eugenics, Darwinism, and the new atomic and molecular sciences were ingrained in all research, with a self-fulfilling prophecy of finding the magic code that made a person good or evil. So where did all this virus stuff come from? All citations point to John Franklin Enders, born in 1897, the son of a wealthy banker who first became a real estate broker, then a polyglot, before switching to bacterial virology. Enders' work followed the disputed cell theory to its conclusion as proposed by physicists, that there could be some disease-causing environmental poison, a virus, literally Latin for, quote, poison or slime. Enders' experiments consisted of filtering material from a supposed infected organism and introducing that filtered junk into a specimen. With the death of the test specimen regarded as both proof of a virus and the putrefying remains of the test specimen regarded as an isolate, with no control experiment. If Enders had conducted a control experiment, he would have found what we find today, In both the supposed infected and non-infected samples, you find the same junk. Leftover parts of dead cells. What cell theorists describe as, quote, non-living matter. So where did they get these pictures of viruses and virus DNA or RNA genomes? And if the entire theory is wrong, how did polio get cured? All legitimate questions, of course. And this one will attack backwards with polio. The CDC today, with a straight face, says there's almost no flu cases, but a huge number of cases of this new COVID thing. Even the uninterested understand that the CDC simply changed the diagnosis. They literally just relabeled any respiratory disease as COVID and claim as proof PCR-amplified DNA fragment samples that are produced by all living cells when they die. So what did they do with polio? Ever heard of multiple sclerosis? Very similar symptoms. Do you have any questions left that then, just as now, numbers will be fudged with if big money is at stake? Polio and measles vaccines made millions of 1960s dollars for those involved. At the height of polio, there were approximately 63,000 U.S. cases. Today, there's approximately 100,000 MS cases. Cure reclassification. Measles? Well, have you heard about the new shingles vaccine? Worst party balloon ever, but, So then, where do they get the genome of viruses? They don't. No DNA or RNA has ever been isolated. All the models are theoretical. They have a theory on how such a virus will work. They PCR amplify the proteins they are looking for that exist in all living cells, and then put these fragments together in a theoretical model of what a virus would look like if it did the things they say it can do. Like a jigsaw puzzle, where you draw the picture yourself and then pretend to not know what the puzzle will look like when the puzzle is complete, without even the possibility of the puzzle being in the wrong box. It's a case of finding whatever it is you were looking for. So then, where do they get the electron microscope pictures of viruses? They don't. No virus has ever been isolated or photographed by any means. There are electron microscope pictures of plankton microspores, and there are electron microscope pictures of dead cell fragments, but the majority of, quote, virus portraits are artist renderings based on the circular theory of their design. The most famous, perhaps, is the coronavirus, named for how it appears under the electron microscope, yet the same structure is found in healthy, quote, unquote, uninfected cells, just like the putrescence used for the theoretical viral genome. So what does this all mean to you today? First, the basic interaction of the very small leads to the realization that when physicists or biochemists talk about particles, they're really talking about probability events. And therefore, virology is the equivalent of claiming to be able to list statistics about an entire field of horses in a horse race based solely on which horse won. Now, don't get me wrong. Particle science, aka quantum mechanics, arguably provides valuable prediction tools, but only as much proof of understanding of things like virology as the Antikythera mechanism was proof of the understanding of our solar system. Prediction is not comprehension, and correct prediction doesn't validate a theory. Experimentation does. Reflect on how long it took to reject the Copernicus model of the universe, where Earth was the center of everything, and how long the experimental evidence of Da Vinci and others was rejected for the dogmatic Earth-centric ideal. Same thing happened with the vacuum. In this context, it is easy to understand how the entire basis of modern epidemiology is at best flawed, and likely the worst case of snake oil salesman the world has ever seen, bred from rejected ancient theories of illness by wartime physicists with no medical or biological background, supported by circular citation after circular citation, all originating from work specifically funded to prove and implement eugenics through chemistry. For further reading on this subject, I strongly suggest you look into the works of Dr. Stefan Lanka, who was asked to provide data to fight the German mandatory measles vaccine, where he presented the real data that is now misrepresented by fake news as part of their, quote, anti-vaxxer conspiracy nutjobs narrative. Join us again next time for the continuing stories of Big Think. So there you go, Jay. It turns out the entire anti-vaxxer conspiracy nut jobs narrative is a lame attempt to try and cover up the shoddy science that the entire virus narrative is based on.
It's crazy, I'll tell you.
How you like them apples?
Well, you know, it was a great presentation. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that people need to hear this. And not
yeah, they do, but
of
course, this is the reason you get the current barrage of ancient aliens and Bigfoot and moon landing hoax and flat Earth. All these fake conspiracy theories are pushed 24/7 by big media, so that anyone that questions the official narrative can be lumped in with one of these pre-established conspiracy nutjob groups.
And I'll tell you, them fucking flat earther people, I mean, wouldn't you just fucking fall off when you got to the end of it? Anyway, I'm not going to go off. Go ahead.
It's an interesting thought experiment, but it's obviously bunk. All right, so up next we've got some BP topics.
Get it, BP? All right. Tonight we're going to discuss the CCP flights into Taiwan. I think it's important for all Americans to know what's going on. 20 CCP aircraft flew into the western part of Taiwan. The two-hour flights into their airspace caused major international news. Pepe Farms, how do you feel about going on in Taiwan?
Well, obviously, China's just pushing the Biden is weak buttons. CCP is the Communist Chinese Army, People's Army. So basically, now that they have Hong Kong, and how they got Hong Kong is something we could discuss at a later day. And with Biden being bought and paid for, why wouldn't they take Taiwan? They were just testing the waters.
Jay, what do you think?
No, I totally agree with Pepe. The flashpoint, the problem is that Biden's not going to do anything because, again, him and his little crack-smoking son are tied up in all this crap. So, you know, they won't stand up to him. Anyway. That's my input.
Yeah, I mean, so much, like many people or countries who took money from the Chinese, now they have to pay the Chinese back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and their demands are great. You know, almost 400, 500% interest on what they invested.
Yep, they're going to want theirs back with spades.
Oh, yes, and there's some dirty dealing going on with Hong Kong being handed over. It's just a whole big nightmare. So what do you have for us next here, Bedry?
I have the parents versus teachers in California. Seems to... Teachers don't want to go back to school work. They currently online teaching right now. The teachers themselves have been recorded having disparaging remarks about the parents because the parents want the kids back in school. So I think it's the unions that give the teachers an idea that they're better than the parents. They know more how to teach the kids than the parents do.
Oh, and B, the school board members that were also union leaders that were complaining about going back to in-person learning, those particular people all have their children in private school that has been in public learning the entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you like them apples, Jay?
I mean, that is unbelievable.
But, guys, isn't it the same state? Or I think it's Los Angeles County the kids are in online school, but these teachers are teaching illegals in person. Am I wrong on that, guys?
I'm not sure if that's happening in California. I wouldn't doubt that it was. I think it was Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah, I think it was Arizona. Kids were, they were let into a stadium that people had been rejected from because of their following all guidelines event that was planned there. And in fact, I think it was people that were doing teaching, got mm-hmm. kicked out of the stadium and got filled up with migrant unaccompanied children. And then all the public school teachers came in to teach the unaccompanied migrant children without following any virus guidelines.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
So there you go.
Yeah, that explains everything.
So is that a good segue into church Nazis?
I think so. Okay, guys, so this next audio soundbite you got to love. Calgary police, this is Canada, and we get confused on the Pepes from Canada. But anyway, were met with resistance when they attempted to shut down a Good Friday church service for violating COVID restrictions. Arthur Pawlowski, I didn't want to butcher his name, Pepe, I didn't, the pastor of the Cave of the Album, told police to leave and not return until they have a search warrant in hand. If you have not seen or heard this, let's listen to this. This is gold.
All right, let me bring up Polish pastor Plaster's police in 3, 2, 1.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Get out of this property. Immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property. Immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property. Immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property. Immediately out! Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately Gestapo is not allowed! Out! Do you understand English? Get out of this property! Go!
Understand English.
Go! And don't come back without the warrant. Out, Nazi! Out! Out! You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out! And don't come back without the warrant. Do not come back without the warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here. Gestapo is not welcome here. Do not come back, you Nazi psychopaths. Unbelievable, sick, evil people. Intimidating people in a church during the Passover. You Gestapo, Nazi, communist, fascist. Don't you dare coming back here. Can you imagine those psychopaths? Passover, the holiest Christian festival in a year, and they're coming to intimidate Christians during the holiest festival? Unbelievable! What is wrong with those sick psychopaths? It's beyond me.
And they left. I've watched this at least 10 times or more, and I love it every time. Now, an update. The Calgary Police Department issued a statement about the situation saying they were called to assist Alberta Health Services and the City of Calgary Bylaw Services over public health orders. CPD stated no tickets were issued and any further action is up to other government agencies. Pepe.
Yep. Yeah, the Calgary Police Department tried to downplay their involvement in print by saying, "We only sent one officer, but you can clearly see there's multiple uniformed armed people." And in Canada, it's a two-tier policing system where they have the criminal police, where they did only send one officer, but they also have like the beat traffic cops, and that's the other armed people that were there. And then the one chick in the mask was the health official. But in Canada, they don't have a constitution, they have a charter, but it's
unconstitutional to interrupt a fixed holy day meeting, no matter the religion, no matter the reason. So they were breaking the Canadian Constitution, in effect, by just walking in the door.
Well, I applaud him. Honestly, I do. BP, go ahead, buddy.
I wanted to know, is Canada still locked down?
Oh, yeah.
Going around and busting up Easter celebration.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
Gestapo.
Gestapo.
No, you got to give props to this guy. You got to give props to this pastor, guys. You really do.
Yeah, Trudeau just announced that they're opening up internment camps for COVID-positive people. If you test positive, you must go to the government facility. You may not go on the internet. You may not contact anybody.
Well,
get raped. You will not be allowed to press charges against the immigrant that raped you, et cetera, et cetera. All true stories.
Good Lord, God. Pepe, we have time for one more, or are we short?
I think we're getting to the end here. We got 3 minutes to go.
Okay. Let's get final thoughts. Final thoughts, Pepe?
Well, yeah, my first final thought is I'm wondering if Canadia Pepe is in a holding cell somewhere for the coup. But I am glad that leftists get an owner's manual with their AR-1416s, Jay. They sure as hell need the troubleshooting section. I'll leave everyone tonight with the thoughts of Zuby, who said, people get angry when you tell them the Rona survival rate is 99.9% for children and adults. If hearing that news triggers anger rather than relief, perhaps you're in a doomsday cult. Good night, everybody.
All right, buddy. BP, final thoughts?
My final thought tonight is an old saying from my grandmother, prepare for war in a time of peace. There you go.
That is very good. Thanks to my co-host, Pepe Farms, our executive producer, BP, awesome stuff. Gents, thanks to our listeners. Without you, it just wouldn't be that much fun. Join us on Gab at Radio Infidel Show. Get us out of here, Pepe.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor goes and it sings. Daydream.